Skagway leaders say ACS isn't providing adequate service to the town during the summer. And a judge weighs in on the Fisheries Observer Program. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. Skagway, for the most part, knows how to handle hundreds of thousands of summer visitors. Infrastructure and services may get stretched, but residents in the municipality have developed ways to host the visitors that make up the main economy in the small town. But community leaders don't think one cell phone provider has figured it out quite as well. The Skagway Assembly last week approved sending a letter to Alaska Communications, formerly known as ACS, expressing concern that cell service in Skagway during the summer, when thousands of cruise ship passengers visit, is overloaded, lacking, frustrating, and that the company needs to fix it. Assemblyman Tim Cochran has led the charge.
Everyone with a smartphone on a four-ship day basically can't get online from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. I mean, it doesn't happen. You just can't. And it's a service that they're paying for that they're not receiving. And so if we at the city were to shut off your water and continue to send you a bill, there would be an uprising.
Cochran, who is also manager of Petro Marine, has a corporate account with Alaska Communications for Petro's cell service. He's called Alaska Communications with his concerns and says a corporate account representative has offered to let him out of the contract so he can switch to AT&T service, a provider that doesn't seem to have the same issues on heavy visitor days. But that doesn't address the bigger problem, Cochran says. As an assembly member, he's heard from plenty of residents without corporate contracts who have trouble with their ACS cell service during peak visiting times. And he's had his own as well.
You know, I get through, but sometimes I have to call like four different times to get through. And it will say calling, 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 calling. And finally, if it doesn't time out, it will ring through. But sometimes I'll have three calls time out in a row, and it's frustrating, to say the least.
In the Assembly's letter to Alaska Communications Management and Board of Directors, it also mentions concerns with public safety when cell service is lacking. And the National Park Service signed on to the letter. That agency also contracts with Alaska Communications, the letter says. The Park Service is planning more QR coding interactive displays. That's where visitors can access material online as they are visiting exhibits or national park sites. But with many visitors using roaming service on Alaska Communications network, there's concern those type of displays will be in vain if visitors can't access them. Cochran and the Assembly say the answer lies in Alaska Communications equipment, or lack thereof, in Skagway. Cochran says the company needs to upgrade equipment in order to add capacity and handle the demand. From his research, Cochran says the amount of capacity Alaska Communications has in Skagway compared to AT&T is about 1-4. And it appears most of the visitors who have providers other than AT&T or Alaska Communications is also being routed on Alaska Communications Network.
T-Mobile, US Sprint, Verizon, you know, a lot of those are going to the ACS tower, and it just can't handle the masses. And so it's basically first come, first serve.
Alaska Communications Associate Manager of Corporate Communication, Hannah Blankenship, said in an email that the company acknowledges there is a capacity issue in Skagway. She writes, the company is working with the Alaska Wireless Network, which owns and operates the network, to increase capacity. But it may not be a quick fix. Alaska Wireless Network is an intermediary entity that is jointly owned by Alaska Communications and GCI. Blankenship says the company is working with the municipality and emergency services to make sure those Alaska Communication users can communicate when they need to in some way. But she acknowledges that does not address the issue of capacity for Alaska Communication users who don't have service through the municipality or other corporate accounts. It's unclear if Alaska Communications or the Alaska Wireless Network plans to upgrade any equipment to actually increase capacity and service. A U.S. District Court judge has ruled that a newly implemented Fisheries Observer Program in the Gulf of Alaska may have become unreliable and is sending federal managers back to the drawing board to fix it. The decision by Judge H. Russell Holland is being hailed as a victory by Southeast Alaska's longline fleet, who have chafed under the new system, which requires them to carry human observers on their relatively small vessels. But federal fisheries managers see it as a win as well. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
The Observer program is not going away. Instead, the court's action may compel the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, to find a way to remodel it, which is what the small boat fleet has wanted since the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council adopted the new plan in 2010. Joel Hansen is the conservation director for the boat company, the nonprofit regional cruise company cum environmental organization that brought the lawsuit.
We don't hesitate to speak our piece with federal agencies when we see them doing something awry.
In this case, something awry meant redistributing observer coverage on Alaska's trawlers, who drag huge nets along the ocean floor scooping up pollock, in order to create an observer program for the halibut fleet, generally smaller boats who use a type of gear called longlines, which catch fish on hooks. Hansen says NOAA, acting under the direction of the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, just got it wrong. The observer program is intended to keep track of bycatch, or the number and kinds of fish being caught unintentionally. Restructuring the program was supposed to improve coverage of the fisheries, but Hansen believes it's gotten worse.
So this was an opportunity for us to look at what the outcome of the restructuring program was, where it should be, and how to make it more like what we think the public expected and what we certainly expected.
And Judge H. Russell Holland agreed in part in his 50-page ruling. Judge Holland says coverage under the new system risks dropping below a reliable threshold. The government doesn't necessarily dispute that finding.
The analysis that the judge has asked us to do is actually very helpful.
Martin Leflad directs fisheries monitoring for NOAA's Alaska Fisheries Science Center in Seattle. Judge Holland's decision requires the agency to prepare another environmental analysis to ensure that enough observers are on enough boats to gather reliable data on bycatch.
And we're certainly game to do that because we, too, share the concern of a data quality issue.
Unfortunately for fishermen, better coverage may mean an increase in costs. The fleet pays 1.25% of its gross sales to fund the observer program. The Magnuson-Stevens Act caps those fees at 2%, but there are still millions of dollars in play. Leflad says the decision validates the government's efforts to expand observer coverage in the 25 years since it began.
The court's judgment on us is really quite a success story because it has preserved many of the strides that we were able to get through with the restructured observer program, working through the North Pacific Fishery Management Council. So many of those things that didn't occur in the past are now present today.
Foremost among those new things is coverage of the halibut longline fleet, which did not have to carry observers until last season. An organization calling itself the Fixed Gear Alliance intervened in the lawsuit on behalf of the boat company. Linda Benkin is the director of the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association, or ALFA, which is a member of the alliance.
The main improvement we hope to see in the program is an increase in observer coverage on the vessels where bycatch is an issue. So salmon bycatch is all in the trawl fishery, halibut bycatch primarily in the trawl fishery, to see better coverage.
The Fixed Gear Alliance also wanted to see electronic monitoring addressed in NOAA's new environmental analysis, but Judge Holland did not allow that argument to move forward. Still, the use of cameras to count fish instead of humans, especially in cramped quarters on boats under 60 feet in length, has its advocates. Really important advocates, like Senator Lisa Murkowski, recently speaking to the Sitka Chamber of Commerce.
We can be smarter in our technologies to allow for electronic monitoring that is accurate and reliable and doesn't get in the way of the operations. It's been fascinating to me how much foot dragging we have had from the agencies. Oh, you know, we just don't know. You know, somebody might tamper with this. You can't do that. Good heavens. Work with us.
Linda Benkin at ALFA hopes that NOAA does just that when it reopens the environmental analysis, even though the judge didn't spell it out. ALFA has been working for several years on an electronic monitoring pilot project. NOAA is piloting a program of its own with 9 boats this season. NOAA's Leflad says it's a start.
I think there is a future for electronic monitoring in Alaska. We're doing the research right now, and we've been partnering with industry to move that research forward.
Still, electronic monitoring would have to be adopted by the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, a process that is by no means fast. None of this is particularly fast. The boat company's attorney, Paul Olson, filed this suit in 2012 with Earth Justice. Although the Observer program isn't going away, Olson considers the ruling a win anyway, since the government is going to have to take another hard look.
Basically, what the court said was that your NEPA analysis failed to consider whether you would acquire statistically reliable data at significantly reduced coverage rates, especially for the trawl fleet.
NEPA stands for National Environmental Policy Act. In this case, a new NEPA analysis means not necessarily starting from scratch, but a new document and a new opportunity for the public, the small boat halibut fleet, and U.S. senators to comment on the process. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Robert Woolsey for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.